Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live today from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. Last night, I had the opportunity to speak to a man who attended our college predecessor, Ambassador College, from 1970 to 1973. Since that time, he's also accumulated enough Armstrong College credits to graduate this Sunday with the senior class. It really was incredible to speak with him and made me think a little bit about what have I been doing with my time. Recently here in Edmond, members of the Philadelphia Church of God heard a sermon in which the speaker marveled at the late educator and theologian Herbert W. Armstrong's ability to clearly express God's truth. It really was a gift from God that Mr. Armstrong had to talk about biblical subjects that confuse the entire world and present them in such a way that anyone could understand, even young school-aged children. This is certainly the case when Mr. Armstrong discussed the controversial subject of healing. In his booklet, The Plain Truth About Healing, Chapter 4, titled What is Faith?, Mr. Armstrong also clearly expressed the subject of faith and how that this subject relates to healing, how faith is also intertwined with obedience, repentance, the Holy Spirit, salvation, and God's law. And really, if we look at these things on a surface level, we probably wouldn't see the connection between any of these things. But Mr. Armstrong dedicated his life to studying deeply into God's word. He found the connections between all of these subjects, and he articulated them smoothly in a really basic yet enthralling way. This subject of faith is really important when it comes to healing. Like we've spoken about before here, healing is one of God's unbreakable promises. God absolutely will heal. So you might be thinking, what does faith have to do with that? If it's God's promise, why doesn't he just do it instead of us having any part to play in that? Faith is something that goes far beyond just an intellectual understanding of the facts. A living faith is what we're talking about. There's also a such thing as a dead faith, but a living faith is what is required to receive the healing promise. This is a life-changing power that can fill our lives. On page 27 of The Plain Truth About Healing, Mr. Armstrong wrote, "We seem to lack that power today, not because God denies us that power, but because we are so close to a modern materialistic world. Our minds are so filled with the material interests of this life. Our minds and our hearts are so far from God. We are so out of touch with Him through lack of enough time spent in the study of His Word and lack of enough of the right kind of surrendered, submissive, earnest, and heart-rending prayer. And consequently, because we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, which affords us the power of God." That's really what it comes down to. The ability to follow God and submit to Him and claim His promises, so much of the time just gets back to whether we possess God's Holy Spirit. This is a gift from God that can join with our human spirit in our minds and it can give us the power we need to follow God. Thankfully, here in this chapter, Mr. Armstrong gives a lot of definitions. Today, it is common to change definitions or to ignore definitions if they don't fit a certain narrative. That is what we see around us in society so often now. But sometimes, in fact, much of the time, usually always, to know God's truth, we have to focus on definitions. Hebrews 11 verse 1 has the definition for faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You could think of faith as a stand-in until you actually receive what you want. It is the absolute assurance that you will receive something, even when there's no physical evidence at all. Even when you can't see or feel or smell or use any of your senses to find evidence, the evidence is still there through living faith. Living faith transcends the five senses. It is evidence all by itself in the absence of physical evidence. I was thinking this morning about what would happen if maybe someone you know and trust very much guaranteed to you that at some point in your life you would be receiving $1 million. And you had reason to believe absolutely that this would take place. But this person also maybe gave you a few conditions and said, here's a few things that you need to do in your life to receive that $1 million. And then guaranteed, if you do those things, you will receive that money. This example shows that, well, when we have faith in something, when we absolutely, truly believe it, so often what comes along with that is a total change of life. God hasn't promised all of us $1 million, but he has given us an opportunity to receive so much more. Eternal life in his family. Being God's actual spirit-born sons. That's a reward so much greater than any amount of physical wealth. And God is offering it to all of us, just according to his timing. But at some point, all of mankind will receive this offer and have a chance to redeem this offer of life in his family. So for those of us today who are striving to obtain that future, it is totally worth it to make certain changes, to live a certain way of life, to receive a reward that we believe is worthwhile. In this way, you could think about how faith is accompanied by obedience. Faith is a gift from God. It's something that we can't have on our own, as you can read in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. But this faith doesn't mean anything if it's not accompanied by works. That is a vital component of living faith. James 2 talks about that. We can read that a little bit. Starting here in James 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, If it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yes, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. The devils also believe and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Like I already said, faith does go beyond simply believing the facts of the matter. Like it says here, even Satan and the demons believe that God has supreme power. They believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior. They believe the words of the Bible, but they don't obey. It doesn't really mean much for them to believe all of this truth. Because, of course, they are totally the opposite of God. Satan is God's arch enemy. His belief, without any action being taken, actually has him at the far opposite end of the obedience spectrum. He's not obeying at all, even though he does totally believe. It's equivalent to this example here, where if someone in need, in desperate need, comes to your door and you essentially say, okay, have a good night, and close the door, it's not really going to help that person very much. Taking action matters so much more than just a few empty words, doesn't it? Taking action matters so much more than saying you believe something but doing nothing at all about it. And that's what God is trying to show us here in passages like this and so many others that show that faith and obedience are forever linked. That's what it's talking about when it says works. We're talking about faith here, absolute belief in God's healing promise, God's promise of salvation, all of God's promises. There's promises throughout the entire Bible. And God expects us to totally trust that he will fulfill all of them. But so much of the time, there are conditions. There are things we must do to receive those promises. First of all, we have to know that those promises exist. Ephesians 5 verse 17 says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. It also says there that if you don't know God's will, you are unwise. We have to understand God's will, what God does promise to do for us, what he wants to give to us. We can't just assume we already know. All of these promises are there for us to read in the Bible. We have to prove God's will. We have to understand and know his promises. And then simply believe in those. Really believe in those. Not just intellectually, but to the point where we are willing to make real changes in our lives. Like Mr. Armstrong said, we need never say, well, I know God could heal me if it is his will. The Bible says God will heal. It makes an absolute promise to all of us. And like we've talked about, that promise is backed up by Christ's brutal beating before he was crucified, before he died. By Christ's stripes, by that beating, we are healed. That is a mega sacrifice. That is ultimate giving. What Christ went through, what God had to suffer through watching, with the chance of being eternally separated from his only lifelong eternal companion. If Christ had sinned even one time, even just by turning a sin over in his mind, thinking too much, contemplating whether he would take action on that wrong thought, If he had done that one time in his entire 33 and a half years, it would have been over for him. And that beating would have done nothing in terms of our healing promise. Why would God go to those lengths if it's not actually his will to heal? So when God does make a promise, we just have to believe it. We don't say, if it is his will. We study the Bible, we find out that will, and we believe in it without any doubt. Unconditional belief, unconditional faith. God is perfect. He never lies. Humans lie. Everyone has at some point in this life. But God never does. And just think about how compelling it would be if any of us approached God and reminded him of a promise he has made. God is our Father. He loves us so dearly. He will do anything for us, as evidenced by everything that Christ went through, his suffering and death. He would give up everything to help us in any way possible. So if any one of us, any one of his children, his created sons and daughters, came to him and reminded him of a promise he has made, how could God not be moved by that? If we are really crying out in prayer, if we have the type of faith where we are willing to obey what God has told us to do, and then we remind him of a promise he has made, how could he not do it? He is full of love, and he just wants to share that love with us all the time. Mr. Armstrong backed up what he's writing about here through a lifetime of experience. He said on page 32 of the Plain Truth About Healing booklet, which, by the way, you can read for free or request for free at thetrumpet.com. Page 32, I know whereof I speak because I've put what I'm now telling you to the test, not once, but literally hundreds and thousands of times, and God has never failed to keep his promise once. I've seen the answers that come so often and so frequently that I expect the answers when I ask. Mr. Armstrong knew every time he asked for something that God would provide it. That's the type of deep belief and trust that we can all have. But just remember, Mr. Armstrong kept God's commandments. He had works combined with his faith. That's why his prayers got results. We have to follow that same kind of example to receive answers to our prayers as well. Faith goes beyond a feeling or an emotional conviction. It's not something that we work up. These other subjects, we'd never think of salvation as something that we work up of ourselves. We can't heal ourselves, and we also can't build faith in ourselves. It is a gift of God. And of course, we can start obeying him. That faith will get stronger once God has given it to us as our works increase. But we can't just pray for 30 seconds and all of a sudden we have faith. It doesn't really work like that. Mr. Armstrong was totally honest in the way that he preached and taught. The way he preached and taught. He included every verse of the Bible in his studies. He didn't just cherry pick certain verses that agreed with his preconceived beliefs. He didn't just read one half of a verse and leave out the other half that contradicted his invented narrative. he didn't quote from one part of a Bible chapter and then leave out the other part that is saying the opposite of what he wanted to believe. And thankfully for us, this is the way he taught, so that we could all come to a full understanding of God's word, not be led away, led astray by lies. Mr. Armstrong explained every time there was an apparent contradiction in God's word, he dug into the Bible and he clarified it. For example, Romans 3 verse 20 says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." That is a verse commonly quoted by traditional Christianity to say that the law really doesn't have anything to do with Christian life. Obedience is irrelevant. But then he also would cite Romans 2 verse 13, which shows that not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. You see there, one verse says that we are not justified by doing the law, but then the other verse says that the doers of the law shall be justified. As Mr. Armstrong explained, as Romans 5 verse 10 says too, it's not our works that justify us, because the sacrifice of Christ does that. We are justified by Christ's death and saved by his life. But what these other verses in Romans show us is that this justification from Christ's death only applies to the doers of the law. One day, all mankind will be trying to obey God's law, and they will be trying to put God's law into action. And that's when that sacrifice of Christ will really have an impact on their lives. It'll really change the way that they are living. So yes, we are justified by Christ's death, but that's with the condition of our obedience to God's law. We have to obey the law. That's what God asks from us. After all he's given, after all he's sacrificed, he just wants us to obey. He's not trying to tell us to obey these laws to take things away from us that are enjoyable and good. The law protects us from evil, protects us from needless pain and suffering, and it opens up to us the abundant life, a life of unparalleled joy and peace, absolute contentment. That's what faith gives us. A Christian living his daily life with faith lives in a way that is vastly different from the entire world. He's not afraid of a virus. He's not worried about what tomorrow will bring, because he has faith in God's promises. The healing promise, for one. Sickness does not become such a mortal concern when we have faith in that healing promise. We do not have to worry so much about physical things when we know that God provides. When we know that God is offering us a glorious future, we don't get so caught up in the trials and tests of the present. We can see right past that. All of this, this peace of mind in a crazy world, is made possible by faith. You can see there how obvious it is that faith does change the way we live. Faith is accompanied by works. This is all a part of claiming God's healing promise. As Mr. Armstrong showed, we really can't have faith in salvation unless we also have faith in the healing promise. Salvation and healing are both promises from God. That healing promise really does chase away the fear of death that is gripping mankind right now. People doing whatever extreme thing the government tells them just to try to cling to a life of confinement and misery. It's really hard to watch what is happening to the world because they don't have faith in healing. It really would change everything for them if they knew about this promise. There's really so much here in this Plain Truth About Healing booklet from Mr. Armstrong, which again, you can study for yourself at thetrumpet.com, get your free copy there. This is a glorious promise. This is a promise that changes the way we live and does give us endless encouragement in our everyday lives. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.